You are listening to Myth Behaving, a podcast with a little bit of attitude on the literary world. Won't you come myth behave with us?
Hello and welcome to Myth Behaving. This is episode 20 of the Myth Behaving podcast, and we're recording on October 20th. I'm Mayor Wilson, and I'm joined by my co-host and producer, Carla Clifton. Hey, Carla, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing fabulous, Mayor, and I'm so excited to be here again for another podcast. We are excited for our new guest that we're having here, and what's really cool is you didn't say 2013.
I didn't.
No.
But it is 2013 now that you mentioned it.
Anyway, hello, listeners. We're so glad that you've tuned in to us again. Each Myth Behaving show features a special guest from the literary world. It could be a writer, a publisher, agent, editor, or anyone else connected with the world of publishing.
Plus, we have several special segments related to reading or writing.
Quiet when hunting books in the Library of a Myth Behaver.
And that means it's time for something from the Library of a Myth Behaver. Today I'm recommending Immortal Beginnings by Kay Latham. This is a young adult paranormal novel that introduces us to a very cool heroine by the name of Ivy. She's a teen who's moved to a military town for special kids and their families. And as you go through the book, you've got some pretty cool secrets that come out. The premise is really neat. I really liked the premise of this. And as the book unfolds, we discover the secrets behind why Ivy and her family are moved and what's up with her and her new friends and just exactly what they can do. So very cool paranormal book.
Well, that must mean that our very special guest today is Kay Latham. Welcome to the show, Karen, and thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, thank you for having me.
We're thrilled to have you with us today. I've known Karen, Carla, I don't think I told you this, but I've known her for over 2 years now. This is one of my Pergy friends, and it's always a treat to have Pergies on the show. And those who don't know what that means, that's okay, because it's basically the writers of Purgatory that you may or may not have heard of. Anyway, Karen, would you do us a favor and tell us the story behind your book?
Well, Immortal Beginnings basically came to be because I've always liked vampire books. And my daughter at the time was only about 14, and she had it in her head that you had to be somebody really super special to write a book and get it published. So I told her, well, anybody can do it if you just try really hard and you work at it. And so I wrote the book, and I decided that instead of the typical theories behind how vampires and werewolves and witches came to be, I kind of came up with a different theory, and I put them in today's society via an inoculation that kind of did some stuff it wasn't supposed to do.
And so I love that premise.
I basically wrote the book to prove a point to my daughter, to prove to her that it could be done.
And you did, because you followed it up with the second book, too, which is very cool.
Yeah. Well, the characters weren't quite finished.
Of truth and mythery.
Of Truth and Mythery is a segment where we take a commonly held publishing or writing belief and examine whether it's true or just another myth. Karen, please feel free to answer this. If you're going to write, you need to read. Is that a myth or is it true?
It is very much true, because if you're going to write something, you have to know, first of all, what is out there. You also have to know what everyone else is wanting to read, what is lacking in whatever genre you want to write in. And if you can come up with something that's lacking, then you're a step above the game, and you can put something out there that hasn't really been read before or hasn't really been so done, so to speak. And if you don't read, then you don't know what's out there.
Very good answer.
Yes, it is. You know, I always find it fascinating as to why writers pick the genres they write in. What drew you into young adult paranormal?
Well, I like young adult in general because teenagers are, they're at turning points in their lives. When you're going through your teenage years, your whole world is changing. And that is the perfect time to throw in some paranormal stuff. Because, you know, not just puberty, but the world around you is changing. You are changing as a human being. And if you throw in some paranormal stuff, that just makes it all that more interesting.
That's very true. That's very true. That's a good point.
And it makes perfect sense.
I'm so good. My logic is logical.
It is very logical.
It's time for MythPrint, tips and tricks of the industry.
Well, it's time for another one of our special segments. MythPrint includes a basic tip concerning writing, marketing, or anything else to do with the industry. Karen, do you have any tips about writing in general that you can share with our listeners?
The biggest tip that I ever got was to accept the fact that your first draft is probably going to look really crappy and to just get it written, get it done, and then worry about the editing and making it more cohesive later on. But get that first draft out there and done out of your head and onto the page.
And that's so important. It really is.
Yeah, I love that because I think that without getting it down on paper and getting that thought out of your head so that you can mess with it. I mean, if you don't have it written down, you can't foo-foo it, you know, or do something,
right,
you know, creative, you know, to make it better.
Yeah. But the, you know, the very first draft is, I mean, very seldom is the first draft worth anything. I mean, it's going to be full of plot holes and incomplete thoughts and all kinds of things. And when you read it the second time, you actually have that moment where you're going, what was I thinking when I wrote this? No, this is bad. This is bad. Okay, we got to fix this. And then you're able to fix things and make it better. And because you know the whole story, you know where to throw in little tidbits of information, little red herrings if you need to. And the first draft, that's what it's all about, is just getting it on the page and getting that thought and that story out there. And then you can fine tune it later on.
Right.
And that seems to be so, you know, I think that's the biggest holdback for the group that I want to write. I want to write a book. What do I do? And I think those that say that, that never do it, I think that's why, is I think they get started and I think they just don't push through to the very end.
Yeah, they expect their first draft to be this perfect, wonderful novel that's just ready for a publisher right away. And a lot of people don't realize that everyone's first draft looks like crap.
Well, and I don't think they even finish the first draft, most of them. I think they get hung up when it isn't good. And at least that's what I'm kind of hearing from those who are, you know, trying, starting out. And it's just like, and they'll ask me, well, I've got this book I've started. Well, you don't want to have a book you've started. You want to have a book you've finished.
Exactly.
Karen, you know, writing is a process of so many things. What do you love most about what you do?
I love the freedom. I can do what I want, when I want, to who I want, how I want, within my story. I can put a couple together. I can break a couple up. I can draw in any kind of supernatural abilities I want. I can do anything. It's a world of open possibilities, and it's an escape from reality. It's my chance to be someone else, be acting as someone else, as opposed to without the constraints of the natural world that we live in.
That's such an awesome answer. That's so true, too.
Well, after several books published, I'm guessing that you probably have your own writing routines established. Is there anything about the process that you don't like, Karen?
The grammar editing. I love commas. I love commas a lot. And I use entirely too many commas in places that there's no need for a comma. So I hate having to go through and that and have to throw on my grammar hat and say, yeah, I don't know why this comma is here. There's no reason for that to be here. What am I thinking putting that there? So yeah, that's the most tedious part for me. That's the part I don't like, is the grammar, having to fix any of the grammar.
I can totally understand that. Well, you know, authors work in so many different ways. Are you a planner, outlining everything and making extensive notes, or are you a pantser, flying by the seat of your pants and letting your book go wherever it will?
I am a 150% pantser. If I outline a book, I never finish it. But if I have an idea and I sit down and I know, okay, this is the character, I'm not sure what's going to happen with this character, but this is who's going to be in the book. And I start with that character, and then I start throwing things at that character and basically see how he or she reacts to it. And then the story is kind of born from that. And I just basically go until the story finishes itself. And if it doesn't have enough word count, then I go back and I add in extra scenes. But I can't, if I outline it, it's kind of like reading the very end of a book that you want to read, but you read the ending. And then because you know how it ends, you don't want to finish reading it. If I know how the story's going to end, I don't want to write it.
Oh my God, that makes so much sense.
Karen, I'm a very logical person.
Yeah. Well, I'm a pantser too, so I sympathize with that. I have a general idea where I'm going. I kind of know the ending in mind, but I have no idea how I'm going to get there more often than not.
With Immortal Beginnings, you know, I had no idea. I mean, I knew the premise of the book itself, but I had no idea of what I was going to do to the characters at the end. And if you've read the book, you know that there's some really big things that happen near the end of the book that you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't see this coming. Wow, where did this come from? And I have a feeling that if I knew that was going to happen, I wouldn't have finished the book. So I'm really glad that I didn't realize that I wanted to do that to the characters until I got to that point, and then I said, oh, this would be neat if I did this. And yeah, it worked out really well.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, like I said, I just have a general idea. And what I love is because they surprise me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So much. And I bet you have the same thing happen where your characters, you'll be writing along and go, oh, I didn't know that was going to happen. Do you have that happen?
Yes, very much.
Karen, could you share a little bit about your next project? What's next for you?
Currently, I'm working on a book. It's tentatively titled Rika, which is the name of the main character. And in this book, the teenagers of today are actually a third and fourth generation of genetic anomalies. Basically, we as humans evolved and our brains started to process more. We started using more of our brain than we have in the past. And it all started around the 1950s. And basically, that's where you get the superhero comic books and stuff, or these people. These were actual people, you know, like Superman. Of course, he was an alien, but like the X-Men and things like that. But the humans have evolved. But it's more centered on the brain power, and the brain has evolved. So all of the paranormal abilities that these kids are going to develop have to do with the brain. A lot of it is the main character, she's an electrokinetic, which means she can control electricity. And she has no way of controlling her own power. So the beginning of the book, she's basically been hidden away her whole life and living in the mountains and never been around electricity. And then all of a sudden, these people show up and they take her to this town. And she has to learn how to deal with these abilities and how to control them herself, because she's never had to control them before. So it's going to be interesting. I'm not sure where the book is going, but so far she's had a pretty interesting time of being found by the government, and it's not a secret. You know, everyone in the world knows about these teens with these abilities, and if a child is born with an ability that the government deems to be an aggressive ability or one that could cause harm to their family, they basically take the kid away and put them in this institute and raise them and train them and teach them how to control their abilities. So a lot of freedoms that are in America right now are kind of 86'd, because the child is a danger not only to themselves but to their family. You know, imagine a two-year-old with the power to control electricity throwing a temper tantrum.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that would wreak havoc on an entire town. People could die. So it's you know, posed as it's for the safety of the nation itself and of the individuals that's why they take the children away. And so it's accepted. But that's pretty much where the book is going. And it's, I don't know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Rika and how she deals with this and what secrets are going to pop out of this book for her.
That's an interesting premise.
Well, thank you. So,
very much so. Well, we've seen a lot of changes in the industry just in the last couple of years. Do you feel the changes have impacted your own work? And if so, in what ways? And how do you feel about those changes?
Well, I don't, because the publisher I'm with right now is a fairly small publisher, the changes, so to speak, haven't really affected me. My books are not in brick and mortar stores. My books are, they are paper and hard, you know, paperback books, and you can buy one, but you'd have to get it through Amazon or something like that. I do most of my own promo work, and so it, I don't know, it hasn't really affected me, I guess.
The myth number is...
And now it's time for myth number, our word of the day. Today's phrase is... paranormal abilities. Karen, books about humans have special abilities are popular. They've been popular for decades. I even write them. Why do you think this genre and this idea is so popular with people?
Because everybody wants to be special. Everybody wants to be different. Every person on this earth, I don't know of one single person that would say, no, I wouldn't want to have some kind of special ability. Everybody would want something, whether it's to be able to fly, read minds, move things with their mind. There's something that everyone wishes that they could do. So it's just a natural thing.
I think that's true. I really do. I think that people do want to feel special, and especially if they had a special ability. You know, so maybe it's a thing in each of us.
Mm-hmm.
Well... now comes the fun part. You'd have a dinner party with any seven people, being dead fictional. Who would you include?
I actually racked my brain for this one, and you're probably going to laugh, but the very first person I would want with me would be my daughter. And I know that sounds crazy, but my daughter kind of helps ground me, and she keeps me from making a fool of myself a lot of the times. So I would definitely want her there.
Cool.
And I would definitely need my oldest brother there, because he has always been my rock, and he always has given me the strength to do the things that I never thought I could do. So he would be there to kind of make me talk to these influential people, that the other influential people that I want to be at this dinner. I would want Vincent Van Gogh, because he was a wonderful artist. I really, he's my favorite artist. Sunflowers is my favorite painting by him. I love all of this whole Sunflowers series that he did. I love them all. Hemingway, because I think he would just be a hoot. To give him a glass of wine and let him get good and drunk and just listen to him talk would be hilarious. Mark Twain, of course, because again, give him a glass of wine, listen to him talk would be hilarious. Audrey Hepburn, because she was just a classic beauty. She was a wonderful actress. She paved the way for so many actresses, and she was just a genuine person at heart. And then, of course, you know, because I'm a girl and I like vampires, I would love to have Damon from the Vampire Diaries book series to be there, just, you know, for a little fun. He would liven things up.
It sounds like that would be a very interesting party.
It would, but I think you're going to have to give Hemingway and Twain more than a glass of wine. If you want to listen to them, from what I've heard, maybe a few bottles.
Well, you know, we just start out with a glass and then go from there.
Very true.
That's a great list. Karen, what question do you never get asked in interviews that you wish someone would ask you? And what would you answer them?
Honestly, I don't have a question that I don't. I mean, I'm a very honest person. At the same time, I'm a very private person. Anyone that knows me knows that they should never ask me a question they don't want to know the answer to. Whether it's going to hurt their feelings or make them feel bad, if they ask me a question, I'm going to answer it. And, you know, if they don't like the answer, I'm sorry, you shouldn't ask me. So I don't, basically, people don't ask me a whole lot of questions because they're afraid of the answer.
I think that that's a Texas trait.
I was going to say.
Probably, because my parents are the same way. So.
So in other words, you're telling me there's a lot of questions out there that you never get asked.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, everyone has their own personal myths, things that a lot of people think about us that may or may not be true, their own personal myth behaviors. What myth behavior do people believe about you that is absolutely not true?
Well, like most people in Texas, and especially where I live, my father is a Southern Baptist preacher. And is my uncle. I was raised in the Southern Baptist Church. And a lot of people, because they know that, they automatically assume that I'm this extremely religious person. And I'm not. Mm-hmm. I do have a vast knowledge of the Bible and the religious works and things like that. But I'm not a devoutly religious person like they assume.
Very interesting.
That is very interesting. Okay, let's turn it around. What myth behavior do people believe about you that really is true?
Well, I kind of touched on it already, that I'm extremely honest to a fault. I don't mince words, and I tell people my feelings and my opinions. If that's what they ask me a question about, that's what they get. And sometimes it bites me. But I would rather be honest with someone and hurt their feelings than lie to them and them get hurt a whole lot worse down the road.
Yeah, and as your friend, I can tell you that I absolutely love that quality about you.
I do too, only because I'm from Texas and a lot of people I know are that way. And
yeah, I think it may be a Texas thing.
Yeah, I would rather somebody, even if it hurt my feelings, be honest with me than you know, pretend and lie.
Right.
So, well, that's the end of our show. Karen, thank you so much for being a guest, our guest. We really appreciate all the information and stuff that you've shared with us today.
And, you know, taking the time out of your day, and I think you've given us a fascinating look at what you do. I'm looking forward to reading these next books.
And remember, everyone, you can go to mythbehaving.com for more information on Kay Latham and links to her books. You can also read her bio and find links to her social media.
Don't forget, you can download this episode right on iTunes or listen to it on the mythbehaving.com website.
Please take a moment to leave us a positive review on iTunes. That's how we move up the iTunes ladder, and thank you for doing it.
And you can subscribe to us on iTunes so that you never, ever miss an episode.
Well, thanks for tuning in to Myth Behaving. We'll see you again next time. I'm Carla.
And I'm Mare, and we are Myth Behaving, where reality meets fantasy. See you soon.